There is an official time. But house cleaning is something that is a fairly big event. My mother used to go room by room. The curtains and the drapes would be taken down. They'd be washed and hung out to freshen them out. And the walls were scrubbed, windows washed inside and out. The furniture was moved and swept underneath and often rearranged. And I liked it. I didn't do much of the work, but it was fun. He'd come home from school sometimes, and I remember coming home, and my mother had house cleaned the boys' bedroom, and it was exciting. The room had a clean aroma, and usually to our delight, the furniture was rearranged. And I've kind of gotten out of that stage a long time ago. But it was a wonderful time. It was hard work. And I'm going to say something here that I think I've observed even in my mother, but and maybe it's not true for everyone, but it was hard work, but even busy mothers would tackle the task with vigor. There was something inspiring about house cleaning. It was something that was just enjoyable to do, to get it done, and the rewards of having the clean house. The reward of a mom's family's comments and the compliments bring satisfaction. And so even though there's lots of other things to do, it was a job that was always enjoyable to have done. Now, when I got married, my wife didn't house clean and twice a year. And I remember once we talking about it, and Esther said, well, she house cleans every week. I mean, she just, if it's dirty, you clean it. Instead of waiting to let things pile up till twice a year, you just keep it clean. Now, our house is pretty normal, so don't go sneaking out of church here and go home and pull our refrigerator front or things like that. I mean, But I thought about this idea of house cleaning, semi-annual house cleaning, and we have a semi-annual council. And the title that I'd like to give the message this evening is House Cleaning Daily or Semi-Annually? How is it in our lives? House cleaning daily or semi-annually? How does this apply to a council service? Our lives are somewhat like a house. And normal everyday life has a way of collecting dust and dirt. And even we as families, even for you as families, even the family here at Swatara that is the most secluded, and I don't know, we don't have too many farmers, and I didn't really. Let's just say there would be one of our families that would live up here in the mountain, back a road, you know, where hardly anybody else lives on, and they had a home business and really very secluded from the world. And even families that and people that stay fairly secluded to themselves, you know, just the things that collect just from our own human nature, there's still dirt and dust that collects and can collect in our lives. And for most of us, the normal living and interaction, even with other Christians, challenge of getting along together, interacting with the world, and all of those things results in a reality of a collection of dust and dirt. You may open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And I'd like to start reading at chapter 6 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I'd like to use verse 1 as a text verse. But he says, having therefore these promises, and what are the promises he's talking about? He says in verse 17, gives the invitation to come out from the world, to be separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now that's a singular. It says, and touch not the unclean thing. Touch not the unclean thing. It's anything that defiles. And then in verse 18, we have the promise, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, that's the promise that he's talking about. He says in verse 1 that we have this promise. We have this promise of a father in heaven who owns us, accepts us, calls us our sons and daughters, who claims us for his own. He's the Almighty God of all of heaven and earth. And he said in verse 1, we have this promise, and since we have this promise, let's cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit. All these things, that these unclean things that we dare not touch. Now, this is a little bit of a sideline thought, but when you think about this promise, in our world today, there are a lot of boys out there that hardly have a dad. And even in the church, sometimes there's fathers that pass away. And I think about this verse. In other words, how much do we long to have a heavenly father? And in the physical realm of family life, there are so many boys that in the world that would say that if only I had a father. If only. They long for that. Now, sometimes the Lord leads in other ways, and God is able to fill that need. But this evening, ask yourself the question, how much do you long for a heavenly father? How badly do you want a heavenly father? Does it really mean anything to you? And the more precious that is to us, the more we're going to keep ourselves cleansed. But if we look at that cheaply and say, well, I don't know that that promise is really all that great, then more than likely, we're going to struggle with sin. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all unfilthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I like to just look at, I believe, 6 different points in relation to house cleaning, and make some lessons for us in our spiritual lives. Number 1, comparisons of house cleaning and heart cleaning. Number 1, it takes personal effort and initiative. Now, house cleaning is hard work. And actually, there's a lot of aspects of house cleaning that are probably man's work. Washing walls down is hard work. It's tough. And maybe some of us even help with that sometimes. But it takes personal effort and initiative. It's difficult. It takes a plan. And it's just a simple reality of any job. It's like a lot of jobs, probably. Sort of dread it, but once we get at it, it's not so bad, and we enjoy it. But it takes determination and desire. A mother or daughter or maid must have some determination and a desire for a clean house and a clean room. You need to think about the end product and the joy of having that end product. And in the spiritual, you know, we need to detest dirt and filth in our lives. We must detest it, or we're probably never going to get around to cleaning it up and doing the work that it takes. Psalm 51 and verse 7 says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. In verse 10 of that same psalm, the psalmist there said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." We could have used that for a text verse. And I had that as a text verse for a while. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." It takes personal effort and initiative. We need to have that same desire in our hearts. That God would purge us, that we would be clean, we would be washed, and that God would create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit. Now, I don't know much about hyssop, and I looked that up. And the word hyssop is used on just a few times in the Old Testament. You have the mention of hyssop in Leviticus chapter 14 in relation to cleansing the leper. And it's interesting as you think about this cleansing of our spiritual lives. And just reading Leviticus chapter 14, and it's a long chapter, and it's a whole chapter. Basically a whole chapter that's devoted to the instructions for the cleansing of a leper. And this was all after the leper was healed. This was the purification process to prove to the group that this person was cleansed and they were healed. They were clean again. And so you have the cleansing of the leper that has already been healed. And in Numbers chapter 19, you have there the first part of the chapter talks about the sacrifice of the red heifer. And the ashes were set aside in verse 9 and says this, quote, "Kept for the congregation of the children of Israel, for a water of separation, it is a purification of sin." And then later in the same chapter, hyssop was used in the purification and cleansing of a man who had touched a dead body. Now, why did the psalmist use this word hyssop? It seems that hyssop was used for the most thorough and purest cleansing. And for the most extreme cleansing, we could say, that of a leper, that of a person who touched a dead body. And in the case of the red heifer, it was the purification of sin. And so when the psalmist used this word hyssop, he said, "Purge me with hyssop." He wanted a thorough cleansing and a complete cleansing. Not just something that was halfway done. He didn't want a halfway peace. He didn't want a half-hearted cleansing. But he wanted a thorough cleansing. He wanted his heart to be white as snow. Or he says here in verse 7, "And I shall be whiter than snow. Renew a right spirit within me." And we this evening must have that same desire for cleansing. Just like in the house cleaning, if the person doing the cleaning doesn't care whether it's clean or not, guess what? It's probably not going to get very clean. And in our own spiritual lives, if we don't really care whether we're clean, whether there's dirt and filth in our lives, we're not going to get rid of it. We're not going to call out to God and ask Him to deliver us. So David gave expression of a desire for a complete cleansing. James chapter 1 and verse 27 says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world." Daily house cleaning. Keep himself unspotted from the world. Secondly, cleansing happens with the washing of the Word. Now, I'm not very up on all the... I don't help house clean, and I don't help clean very often at all. And I'm not up on all the new and latest methods of cleaning. And I know they change, and there's new ingredients, there's new detergents, there's miracle detergents, there's miracle rags, there's, you know, all kinds of stuff out there. But almost always, when you want to clean something in the physical, it takes water. It takes some moisture. It takes moisture. And it usually takes plenty of water. And usually when I want to clean something and it's dirty, I need a lot of water and get it cleaned up. And in the spiritual, it takes water. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, he talks about cleansing and a sanctification, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The washing of regeneration, the washing of water by the word. And so cleansing happens with the washing of the word. Now, we need that washing. And this evening there's no other way to be washed and clean. It takes the washing of the water of the word. It's the word of life. It's God's word. It's the work of the Holy Spirit as he takes the word of truth and helps us to understand it and points out error in our lives. It's the washing of the water of the word of God, the washing of regeneration. James chapter 4 and verse 8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And he says there that we need to draw nigh to God, and when we're close to God, then it helps us. It's what we need to cleanse our hands, to see our sin, to purify our hearts, ye double-minded. And we know that that's not something we just do ourselves, but God does it. God is the one who is able to cleanse and free from bondage. 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful and just and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can have peace and a heart that is at rest if we confess our sins. Now, I imagine when it comes to keeping a clean house, that to some ladies, all dirt is bad. And a little bit of dust they just can't stand. There's other people that it's got to get pretty bad before it really bothers them a whole lot. And there is, and I said in the beginning that as we rub shoulders with the world, as we live around the world, as we deal with our own human nature, we collect some dust and dirt. And so, not necessarily all dirt is willful sin. But it still needs to go. We need to weed it out of our life. Not all the dirt that a person may find in his life is willful sin, but the filth of sin and wandering from God's path, and it can only be cleaned by the blood of Jesus Christ. We can't get rid of this filth in our lives simply by reform or trying to do better. We're only delivered by coming to Christ and confessing our sins and allowing him to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, let's go to the next point. And the third point is that we must be able to identify dirt in our lives. In the same way in house cleaning, you know, if you can't see the dirt or you can't identify dirt, why, it's you can't clean it. And that's usually pretty obvious. But what about in our own lives? In our own lives, sometimes we can hardly see the dirt. Sometimes others need to help us identify it. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 2, the writer there said, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. God is the one who needs to help us identify dirt. And the Word of God shows us things in our life that need change, things that shouldn't be there. Just as it is in the house, dirt is sometimes in the back corners. Sometimes it's under the sofa. Sometimes it's behind the refrigerator, etc. And, you know, I know how it is. You pull a refrigerator front to fix it, and you can't believe all the dirt that collects back there. Where did it all come from? It was back there. It was out of sight. We didn't even know it was there. And we're appalled at how dirty it is and how much is there. But you know, sometimes it's the same way in our own lives. We don't see the dirt unless we search for it. We don't see the dirt unless we move some things around. And sometimes in the crevices of our heart, there is bitterness towards someone that wronged us in the past. Maybe a long, long time ago. Or a secret longing for sinful pleasure. Like dirt that's hidden, sin can be there but hidden from other people. And others don't know about it. Could be wrong music, cheap romance novels, impure thoughts that we have a hard time getting a hold of and getting rid of, and they come back. And we think about them and we feed on them. Impure thoughts. Critical attitude toward another brother or sister. Feelings of ill will. Ill will is when we wish something bad on someone. Or we don't mind at all when they have a problem. Ill will. I think that happens in the church. Ill will. Wallowing in the mire of discouragement and despondency. Just staying there. Enjoying the time of pitying yourself. Impatience and lack of forbearance with our children or our spouse, etc. Sharp words. So often we justify them in our own minds. Proverbs 31 and verse 26, the writer there said of the virtuous woman, which this applies to men as well. But he said that she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Law of kindness. Is that how it is for us? Does the law of kindness rule in our words? Sometimes, as I mentioned before, we need others to point out the dirt and the grime, the dust that needs cleaned away. May God help us to identify dirt. Fourthly, we need to get rid of extra clutter in our lives. And I think that house cleaning is also a time when, you know, go through some drawers, some corners, some closets, and pull out things that collected there and things that... And so you sort through and, you know, are we going to keep this or are we going to trash this? The closet's getting so full. What must go? And so those things need to be sorted through. And I'm referring to things and stuff that's not necessarily wrong in our lives. Just things that take up our time. Things that we can collect, things that we could put our interest in. In the Perspectives of Truth literature book, if I remember right, there's a story in there entitled, How Much Land Does a Man Need? And if I remember right, it's been a long, long, long time since I read that story. But a man was able he was going to be given the land, or was able to purchase the land that he could walk around in a day. And as he was walking, he realized after a while at the end of the day that he had, in other words, the deal was that he had to get back before sunset or by sunset in order to claim that portion of land. And he lost it all because he tried to walk around too big of an area. And he didn't get back in time. And he's the despondency and the heartache and the how much land does a man need? What did he need to keep him satisfied? How many tractors should a man collect? How many guns does a man need? How many kitchen cupboards does a house need? How many wall hangings does a house need? And those are some questions that don't have any specific answer. But as I thought about that and thought about things in my own life, and I wrote this down, that these questions don't have one specific answer, but for the Christian, they have an answer. But for the Christian, there's an answer. And every one of us needs to decide, and we need to make sure that those things are under the blessing of God. Get rid of extra clutter in our lives. And number five, and this is very closely related. I probably could have just sure should have combined these two. But when house cleaning is done, it's often a time to rearrange furniture. And You decide that, you know, this piece ought to be over here. It would look better. It's centered between the doorway and the corner a little bit better. Or maybe you acquired a new piece of furniture at grandma's sale, and, you know, let's arrange this. Let's fit it in better. And so I've compared this to balancing and prioritizing our time. It's important and necessary. And so even in the right things that we do, even in the good things that we do, we still need to prioritize our time. I don't know if Jonathan Burkholder's here tonight, but Sunday they were at our place for dinner, and he asked me a question in the afternoon. He said, "So how do you do it? How do you be a minister, a father, take care of a business? How do you get all that stuff done? How do you take care of your family?" It was really good for me to have to answer that. I'm glad my wife and the ladies were in another room. We all need to look at that. We all need to think about it. And are we getting the job done? And are we spending enough of time with our families? Sometimes we need to take a fresh look at things and where it fits best and do some rearranging. And number six, we have the satisfaction of a job well done. And it's the peace and the rest that comes with knowing that the house cleaning is finished. The rooms are clean. Everything smells good. And I know that, I guess in normal life, you know, until you get around and you get all the rooms done, the first room you started in probably looks dirty again. That's probably a reality. But in our spiritual lives this evening, we can come to a council service and we can have rest. We can have peace. And we can have the satisfaction that you have peace with God and peace with the church. There can be rest. The familiar verse in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." People today are worrying about a lot of things. People today are not at rest. They're insecure, and they're searching for answers in their life. We can find rest and satisfaction in God. House cleaning daily or semi-annually. So I started thinking about this title and this idea. And right away I started saying to myself, you know, one of the impressions I don't want to leave in this message is that council service is a time that we just quick clean things up. And we let dirt and filth collect for 6 months, and then we quick clean it up for council service. That's not at all what God has in mind. And so house cleaning, heart cleaning needs to be done daily. It needs to be done as we go through life. And as we identify dirt, let's use the appropriate soaps and detergents. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we need the help of another brother or sister to help us identify those things. Sometimes we need some accountability. Let's use the appropriate soaps and detergents. The washing of the water by the Word of God. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 8, it says, "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." And so someday we want to be a part of that group. That is a part of that throng that's clean and white, washed in the lamb's, in the blood of the lamb, and wearing robes of white. But if we want that tomorrow, we need to be clean today. So let's continue to allow God to search our hearts and lives. Let's have that desire of the psalmist that we would be washed and clean and have a heart that's cleansed. May God continue to bless our service.